From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. When former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg made the biggest donation ever to his alma mater, Johns Hopkins, earmarked for student aid, some critics said a huge gift to an elite institution will not correct inequities in higher ed. Hopkins president Ron Daniels said he understands critics who would like to see the money invested elsewhere, but he contends the Bloomberg gift will trigger fundamental change as Hopkins recruits more diverse students.
The essence of who we are as an institution, and indeed our ability to represent and understand the rich complexity of this country, requires a different student body, a different mix than we have at present, and that's a moral imperative.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. As far as anyone knows, it's the biggest individual gift anyone has ever made to American higher education. Former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, already the donor behind the Bloomberg School of Public Health, is giving another $1.8 billion to his alma mater, Johns Hopkins University, earmarked for financial aid to low and middle-income students. $1.8 billion is a size that could be transformative. Invest that much money, even cautiously, and you'll get $60 or $90 million to spend each year. How will Johns Hopkins use this aid? How will it change Hopkins? Will it have a broader impact on higher education? Johns Hopkins University President Ronald Daniels is here to address some of those questions. Welcome back to On the Record.
Really pleased to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
I assume donations of this size don't just happen, so I congratulate you on this. Can you share what the first conversations were with Michael Bloomberg, the seed idea of this?
So the truth is that we've been in a constant conversation with Mike about the aspirations of Johns Hopkins, some of the challenges we're confronting, and the role that he can play in helping us address those issues. And so it's not that there was a discrete moment in time when we broached the idea of this next investment that he would make in Johns Hopkins, but rather it's just been a conversation that has spanned several years. I've been here for 10 years. During that time, Mike has contributed approximately $1 billion to Johns Hopkins for a number of different priorities, including financial aid. He supported through expendable funds, not through endowment, the creation of a program that has, all told, supported about 1,500 undergraduates who have been Bloomberg Scholars. But a few years ago, we started talking about a transformative gift because from my perspective, although we have been need blind, meaning that we admit our students without regard to their financial wherewithal, for about the last 8 years, we have had real difficulty in meeting those commitments, and we have not been able to fund that program on the basis of our endowment. This is basically a program that has been supported through our annual budget process, through our operating budget, and we really wanted to secure the future of this program and indeed to enhance it significantly. And that's what this $1.8 billion gift allows us to do.
Bloomberg said in explaining the gift in the New York Times, quote, "I want to be sure that the school that gave me a chance will be able to permanently open that same door of opportunity for generations of talented students, regardless of their ability to pay." Close quote. So how will this work?
So the entirety of the gift will go into endowment, and the payout on that endowment will all go to financial aid. And essentially what this will allow us to do is to expand and enhance our financial aid program. And in particular, what we will be able to do is to provide financial aid to our students who are currently now receiving a mix of grant and loan. This will allow us to meet all of their financial need through grant. And that's a very significant change in the character of our program. So this means, for instance, that students who are now taking on debt to get through our program will, in fact, no longer have to do so and will graduate debt-free from Johns Hopkins. But more than that, what this program allows us to do is to be very aggressive and effective in bringing more students from low and middle income families into Johns Hopkins. So the goal that we've set out here is to, within a 5-year period, get to a point where more than 20% of our incoming class is in receipt of Pell assistance. Pell eligible is a term of art, but essentially it means that these are families whose household income is about $60,000 or less. What we're trying to do is go from a position where now we have this current year, 15% of the incoming class is Pell eligible.
And that's how many students?
We're looking at somewhere in the order of 200 students are in receipt of Pell assistance in our incoming class. And what we want to do is go to a position of 20%.
Okay. So that's another 50 students in 5 years.
Across, and then you
I mean, it's
right,
cumulative.
Right, and then you basically
but still,
would match.
The numbers I used earlier of 50, 60, up to $90 million generated each year by this gift, you're talking about $1 million of support for each of those Pell students, if that's how you measure.
So we will be providing the assistance to those students, but remember, we are not providing for the 15% who are currently with us and for other students who are in receipt of financial aid. They're now getting loans that we're going to be swapping out with grant. So that right now, about 44% of the total undergraduate class at Johns Hopkins is in receipt of financial aid. And on average, those students graduate with about $25,000 worth of debt. So another big chunk of this gift will be used to basically substitute for all of the loans that are currently being assumed by our students will now be paid for by grant. So this is a gift that goes to dramatically augment the character of financial aid for the students who are here. But then, of course, what we want to do is bring more students from low and middle income backgrounds to Johns Hopkins, and that accounts for another part of the incremental expenditure.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with the president of Johns Hopkins University, Ron Daniels, about Michael Bloomberg's gift of $1.8 billion for financial aid and what impact it will have. So, I mean, what you just said echoes what the university said in the announcement, that you expect the Bloomberg gift to result in a student body that is more socioeconomically diverse. Right now, almost 3/4, 72% of the undergraduate students come from families in the top 20% of U.S. incomes, and less than 3% come from families in the bottom 1/5. Why is that the picture now?
So I think the starting point is that that's a picture that describes pretty accurately the state of most of the universities in our peer group, both public and private.
Selective
universities, that we know that there is a significant overweight to the highest income quintile in our participation, in student participation. And indeed, it's important to note that this isn't something that is limited to the United States. I come from Canada, as you know. We had the same phenomenon there in the context of publicly supported education. There aren't private institutions, but we saw the same character of representation in our student bodies. And in truth, this has been something that's been written about in Europe. So the question is, why is this so? And I think there's a number of different reasons that explain this. One is, of course, just the character and quality of K-12 education across this country, and the extent to which we know that students from homes of material comfort just get more resources, get better education, get more after-school programming, get more assistance at every step of the way in comparison to students from lower socioeconomic backgrounds. And that can't help but impact their eligibility for enrollment in selective universities. But quite apart from that issue, we know that there's a so-called undermatching problem that takes place with students from middle and lower income backgrounds, where even where in cases where students perform well in high school, they score well in their aptitude tests, for whatever reason, they do not apply to elite universities. And even when they apply to these universities that aren't accepted, they decide not to enroll. This is the undermatching problem. So this says something about the character of the financial aid packages that we have available to these students. It says something about our effectiveness of outreach to these students and whether they understand the pathway to an institution like Johns Hopkins. It says something about kinds of supports that are available to these students when they come into an institution like Johns Hopkins. So there's a whole host of different explanations. This gift recognizes the importance of having a good financial aid package, but also recognizes that that's only part of what one needs to do to truly be able to get at improved access for students from this background. So we're going to have to do a lot of effective outreach and network building in order to be able to make it clear to these students that there is a pathway to Hopkins and that they will be able to come and participate at Johns Hopkins just like non-aided students.
Ronald Daniels is president of Johns Hopkins University. We're talking about the impact of the $1.8 billion Michael Bloomberg just gave Hopkins for student aid. Quick break here on The Record. When we're back, we'll talk about some of the criticisms of a big gift to an elite school. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Johns Hopkins University has about 6,000 undergrads, and their tuition, room and board, and books add up to about $72,000 a year. U.S. News reported that in 2016, the average financial aid package covered more than half of that cost. Hopkins President Ron Daniels is with us this morning discussing how the financial aid dynamic will change with the $1.8 billion gift of former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg. As you pointed out, Hopkins admissions already are need blind. You admit students regardless of ability to pay and then figure out a financial package. The Bloomberg gift makes the funding for that secure, but you've been on that path and still only 3% of your undergraduates come from families in the bottom fifth of incomes. So it's not clear to me how this changes.
So I think it goes back to what I said a moment ago, and that is
recruitment.
That it's you've got to build partnerships that start right at the level of high schools across the country. And there's a number of innovative programs in place that are designed to work with universities in identifying and recruiting these students into institutions like Hopkins. And it requires, quite apart from those partnerships, real simplicity in terms of the kinds of financial aid packaging that you provide to the students, just simply saying to them, as we do, for instance, to our Baltimore scholars within the city of Baltimore, if you are admitted into the program out of a Baltimore City public school, and you're eligible by virtue of your family's financial background for participation in the Baltimore Scholars Program, you come not only tuition-free, but room and board fee to Johns Hopkins. So it's a very simple message that we're trying to telegraph to these students. And then afterwards, we ensure there's a wraparound set of supports for these students so that not only do they know that they can enter, but that they can get through Johns Hopkins at the same pace, at the same level of performance of non-aided students. So all of these things fit in together to make for an effective program. But I go back to where you started. The fact that 72% of our undergraduate student body is from the top income quintile is something that we're deeply worried about. And even before this gift, had started to develop a number of different programs trying to focus clearly on this Pell-eligible population and seeing that as a goal just like any other that we have in terms of how we create an undergraduate class that we were anxious to realize in a timely manner.
So does it follow then that you will admit fewer freshman students from those affluent families if you're admitting more from low-income families?
So I think at the end of the day, what this means is that we are not intending to change the size of our class. What we're hoping to do effectively is shift the composition so we do have more middle and low-income students. And that ultimately is going to mean that there will be fewer students from high-income families who are represented in Johns Hopkins. And as we've been saying throughout this discussion, they're extremely well represented now, as they are at peer institutions across the country. We want to change the character of that representation and understand that the essence of who we are as an institution and indeed our ability to represent and understand the rich complexity of this country requires a different student body, a different mix than we have at present. And that's a moral imperative.
What fraction of freshman applicants does Johns Hopkins currently admit?
So we admit somewhere in the order of 11% of...
Yeah, that's what I thought I had read. So Hopkins is very selective. Presumably, if your outreach works, you're going to have to be more selective.
We're in a place now where we're less concerned about trying to reduce our number of admits or increase our number of applications and playing those games with ratios. That's not a focus for us. What we're anxious to do is just bring more of these highly qualified students from middle and low-income backgrounds to Hopkins.
But I'm just saying you're going to hear from a lot of applicants who aren't necessarily what you consider highly qualified, but they think they should get a chance. So you're just...
We're pretty clear in terms of what the criteria for admission are. There's no surprises as to the character of the standards that we have around GPA, SAT, ACT scores, and so forth. So students will have a good sense of what it takes to get into Johns Hopkins. It's a very selective class. This past year, just based on GPA, SAT, and ACT scores alone, the Hopkins entering class stood about third in the country.
That's Johns Hopkins University President Ron Daniels here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the impact of Michael Bloomberg's gift of $1.8 billion to Hopkins for financial aid to low and middle income students. Inside Philanthropy, basically a trade publication, published a piece last week headlined "A Wasted Opportunity?" cataloging the criticisms Bloomberg's gift has generated. I'm sure you've heard them all. I'm sure they must drive you crazy. But how do you answer those, like Professor Sarah Goldrick-Robb at Temple University, who said she felt sick to her stomach when she heard that this gift was going to Hopkins and not some needy community college? She told Inside Philanthropy that this huge gift lodged at an elite school like Hopkins won't reduce inequality, it will double down on inequality.
I guess I'm surprised that she actually sees that this would enhance inequality rather than attenuate, at least at Johns Hopkins. So the logic of that is a little mysterious to me. I can understand people saying that they wish that Mike had invested the money in this or that place, but how this actually makes things worse is elusive to me to understand.
But I think she's arguing that such a small number of students in the total scheme of higher education will benefit from this.
But that certainly doesn't make inequality worse. It may not be the desired use that she would have put the funds to, but it certainly, to my mind, I don't see how it compounds inequality. I think from my perspective, this was an unprecedented gift to higher education, But it was also a fabulous gift because in Mike's inimitable fashion, he had a particular use in mind. And then in the way that Mike goes about his public advocacy, he did that gift in a way that created a sense of urgency around the importance of addressing questions of access to post-secondary education in this country. So he wrote the check, but at the same time, he wrote the op-ed. And as he stated in that op-ed, he understood that this is an issue that will not be addressed wholly through private philanthropy. It requires action by federal and state governments. And at the same time, he, of course, challenged others to follow in his footsteps and double and redouble their efforts to support of higher education. So in that respect, I think the gift represents a very powerful moment in which Mike has put this issue back in the center of public policy debate, namely, how do we ensure that every talented American has an opportunity to get to post-secondary institutions where the promise of equal opportunity can be met? This is not a story about Maryland, I should say, but this is about other states in the country where there has been systematic disinvestment. There's now about $7 billion less in transfers going from state governments to institutions of higher education across the country than there was at the start of the Great Recession. That funding line has never recovered, and that's tragic.
What will success look like?
So success looks like an institution that not just in 5 years' time, but much sooner than that, is just much more representative of the rich complexity of this country. Success looks like having an immediate increase in Pell-eligible students who are enrolled in Johns Hopkins. It means that those students come to Johns Hopkins and participate fully and effectively in the life of the program, and that they graduate at the same rate that non-aided students do. And in all those ways, not only do we respond to a moral imperative about what we should be doing for these students and their families, but more fundamentally, we ensure that Hopkins as an institution is one in which the experiences, the perspectives, the concerns, the anxieties, the aspirations of a broad swath of America is represented on our campus. My hope is that we can work on ensuring that there is a more representative sample of citizens from across the country at Hopkins, and we can put that to good use in terms of the education and research mission of the university.
We'll check in with you about it. Thank you for talking to us about it.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about this great gift.
Ronald J. Daniels is president of Johns Hopkins University, which just received $1.8 billion from Johns Hopkins alumnus and former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, aimed at making sure any student admitted to Hopkins, no matter their income, can attend. At the On the Record page at WYPR.org, we'll link to Bloomberg's op-ed about the gift in the New York Times. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you're with us on the record. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.